as a small business guy, I don't think it's appropriate, and I know they've said some think it's unconstitutional to have two different subclassification according to the Constitution. I'm no attorney, so that's over my head. But the one thing, when I saw this document that I mentioned, that really kind of made me chew a little bit on it is you get the tax credit benefit when you build that project. And that, it seems to me, that should be based in the appraisal as it goes down the road. In other words, if you come out with $100 way on top of profit, that should work its way down through. And if I understand you, that's not the case.
Can you bring this up on the county maps, Wesley?
This is kind of on the other side of Whitewater, back off of 76, behind the old Starlight Theater, maybe.
Okay, yeah, sure.
It's a very nice project. Both of them are. I've driven in there from just driving by, very well kept and very nice places for people to live. I'm certainly all for that.
I mean, is there any reason why the jump between 2016 and 2017 that was significant?
Yes. Those numbers in 16 must have been some way connected to the STC appeal. I can't explain exactly why. But the 17 was just, if you built a new project, didn't have any tax credits, we just did our regular cost approach appraisal. That's where that number came from.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but since the state had said it and it's not supposed to rise after that, is that correct?
According to Dan, it is.
I'm asking
now,
you.
Well,
or Donna.
As I said before, I've heard it said. I haven't researched it, got the statutes out and read them. Donna brought up a good point. Honestly, I don't remember hearing before, but sounds like a good point. I mean, business incomes go up and down because of the market. So whether you can legally argue that that gives us the right to change it, Donna's not an attorney either, but it's a pretty good point.
And to his point, when he said if it hasn't changed, you can't do anything. But we do know sales go up and down every year based on what the occupancy is. I'm sure they had to calculate what their occupancy was back in 2015 when they did their appraisal versus their occupancy today. So that's going to have an effect, too, on the value and on the income.
Okay. So what we're looking at is either we have an appraisal, three appraisals here off of an income approach. It's went before, one of them at least, has went before the State Tax Commission, and the State Tax Commission, based on what we understand is accurate, has said that you should go on the income approach. I don't see how, I mean, to me, that property over there is a thriving property. I've been to it, helped some friends move in and out before, and they're very nice, and they're continuing to grow. I don't know how they're tearing down right now, and I haven't looked through the appraisal extremely thoroughly to see if they really factor in the tax credit, which is to me a big factor. But anyway, that's what we have. What's your thoughts, Dave?
My concern, just generally, is if Dan is correct and the statute that has been passed applies, we really don't have any other valuation except what he's provided that the state says is accurate. Because it's not an income approach that makes it difficult for us. And I know, I understand the constraints on the assessor right now, but if we have to comply with the statute, we don't really have anything else. But we just now have these this appraisal for these properties at this point. And, you know, one of the things that these things need to be based on is obviously several years of income data. And that's according also to the State Tax Commission and what they have told us in BOE training, that we need some comparable income and expense information, ideally for the last 3 years. I don't know what this appraisal sets out, how many years of income that they are evaluating here for this appraisal. But my concern is this is the only thing we've got right here, so I'm not sure. I mean, we're either going to have to make a choice to accept this, what they provided, or we're going to have to table this and figure out if the assessor would want to have an income-based assessment of this property so that we have something else to compare it to. Because I don't think this statute allows us to consider a cost base. And from what he's saying, the Tax Commission appeal, which of course I have not seen, I haven't seen that. I mean, if that's the case that they said you had to use this statute, then I don't know how we can do something any different than an income approach.
And you don't have to make your decision today. We can get you copies of what the State Tax Commission decision was. And do we still have the records of their last appraisal that they presented back in 2015? And is this a new appraisal? Or is this an appraisal based on 2015? Because if it's not, then we don't have anything new showing new numbers.
And so, I guess I'm looking at all three at the same time to an extent.
Right. And then the other thing you can do is if you don't have that information, it hasn't been provided here, you can deny this, send it to the State Tax Commission, and then they will have to provide an appraisal for 2017, which they can then compare back to the 2015 appraisal and see if the income approach has changed.
One thing that bothers me that you, once they set the appraisal, it's not supposed to change, and that doesn't make sense to me. Everybody else's changes from year to year. That so why would that make, remain stagnant for the life of the property?
Dan, you would agree that it doesn't remain stagnant if the income changes, correct?
Well, at the time that the statute that we're referring to that says you must continue using an appraisal or an evaluation at the State Tax Commission, if you take a case to the State Tax Commission, is a very old statute. I don't know why it was enacted. I'm only speculating that it was meant to be that so that appraisers every year, assessors every year, don't try to bump it up. So that essentially we have to go back to the State Tax Commission every year. The idea was the taxpayer shouldn't have to do this every year. That's the way I view it.
That is excellent.
The statute was enacted to say you don't have to come back here every year, that because you've come here and won, that's the valuation, unless something changes with the property. The statute that came about a couple of years ago, of course very much newer, says you must follow the income approach, and it even sets out the exact way you do it. And the exact way you do it says you do not consider tax credits. You take the current operating income and divide it by a cap rate, capitalization rate, that is determined typically by the assessor based on comparable properties over the entire county. And talking to Mr. Finale does not do that, and there's no one that's actually computing the income approach in these kinds of cases. And there are a number of these projects in the county. This statute was meant to address exactly this property, and I believe needs to be followed exactly as it's stated, which is you look at operating expense and divide by a cap rate. That's what our appraisal did.
Okay, you picked Gill Group. Are you saying you couldn't find anybody in this area that's doing that? Or did you just pick Gilbert because you've used them for other things?
That's who we use for a lot of our appraisals.
I understand.
The one on, I'm looking at the appraisal for the villas lot 2, and the appraisal, it says effective date of evaluation is January 1st, 2011, and the date of report is January 27th, 2014. Can you speak to why we don't have an appraisal that is 2016?
2017.
Well, 2017, based off of your last year's numbers?
You're looking at Rock Ridge 2, is that right?
Correct.
Do you have the packet that I sent by overnight?
You have the files up there.
Yeah, I got.
You have all three. Number 201710 is Rock Ridge 2.
Yeah.
I have 6 more in front of me, third one.
I thought I had sent you an appraisal. Well,
this, I think, is one.
This is 10. The one I have is effective day of evaluation. January 1st, 2015, with a date of report of December 2nd, 2016.
Dan, how many pages would they be looking for there?
The full appraisal, I believe it's 76 pages.
And the one on Sycamore is that thing.
The one on Sycamore is like 250 pages.
Did you all get that, you think?
Not 250 pages, no. I haven't. Wesley,
right.
You got
this one.
Yeah, you have a 2016 appraisal there.
Yeah, and that's on Rock, that's on no, Rock Lot Ridge 2. Yeah, Rock Ridge 2. Yeah. And that's at 1780. What was last year's evaluation on this?
Rockridge 2?
Yes.
Is
3060843.
It
looks like it went down from 2016 to 2017.
Mm-hmm. And it went down from 2015.
But that was not an income approach, so.
Yeah. Just saying on complicated appraisals or on tax exempt, we've always been told to send it directly to the state tax bureau.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Those.
Capable of analyzing their data.
See, for Rock Ridge 1 and Sycamore, I was going to suggest that we send it to the State Tax Commission since we're not able to do it.
Why aren't you able to do it?
We do not have anybody that can do the income-based approach.
Well, I understand that the appraiser, that the assessor hasn't provided you with that, but we have. The best evidence before you is our appraisal, both of those.
Are you making a motion?
Yes.
All right, so we have a motion on the table to send BOE number 2017-10 and 11
11 and 12, because 10 is the one that's already been before the State Tax Commission.
Okay, 11 and 12. Before the State Tax Commission. Do we have a second? Or any discussion?
My preference, I think that we can still potentially look at this would do this, but we haven't had time to look at this appraisal.